8 years ago, this experience happened to me, November 23rd, 1998. And at first, I didn't want to share it with anyone. 2 weeks later, I did share it with my mother and one close friend. Well, from there, it spread, and people started telling people and inviting us to come to their Bible studies and churches, and then some radio and some small TV cable stations and so forth. So for the next 7 years, we went. And I would go reluctantly, actually, because I'm very conservative as a person. And to be identified with something seemingly so wild as going to hell was really uncomfortable for me. I didn't want to share it. But we would still go anyway as God opened up the doors. And I finally, after 7 years, I heard the Lord's voice say, "You know, Bill, it's not about you being comfortable. It's about you being obedient." And, you know, we've all been given something to do, right? And sometimes God pulls us out of our comfort zone. And, you know, it's not about us. It's about God and the message and souls. So we all have something to do, and we need to all be bold enough to go out there and do it. Amen? So now, about 2.5 years ago, we were contacted by the publisher of our book, and they asked us to write a book. They heard us speak at a church. So we were greatly honored. It was a reputable publisher. And so again, we didn't want to self-promote this in any way. We said, "Lord, if you want this message out, you have people call us." So God kept opening up the doors. And again, the publisher asked us, so we put the book out. But we also wanted to put the book out because I put over 150 verses that talk about hell. So everything I want to share with you is already in the Bible. The Bible says not to add or take away. So everything I want to tell you is already in the Word of God. And that's what's important. It's not my experience for people to believe that is so important at all. It doesn't matter if you believe me at all. It's the Word of God that's important. You know, and some have said, "Bill, well, what about, you know, Abraham was talking to the rich man in hell, and the rich man said, 'Send back Lazarus that he can warn my family.' And Abraham said, 'Look, even if one came back from the dead, they would not be persuaded.' So, Bill, why would God send you?" And I say, well, first of all, I don't fit that scenario for two reasons. Number one, I wasn't dead. This was an out-of-body experience that comes under the classification of vision, which I'll explain in a minute. And number two, we're not telling people to look at my experience and be persuaded. We're just a signpost to point people to the Word of God, because many churches aren't teaching about hell today and not speaking about the fear of the Lord. So we want to share a little bit about that with you. But first thing I would ask if I were you is, "Bill, how do you know it wasn't just a bad dream?" And that's what I would think, right, if I were you. Well, a couple reasons I'll share with. First of all, when I returned from the trip, on the way back, I had saw my body lying on the floor. So I knew I had left my body. This was an out-of-body experience. It wasn't just a dream. And when I was on the way back, I was with the Lord, which I'll tell you about. But when He was present, there was no fear whatsoever. Because 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love casts out all fear." You see, but when the Lord left, He left me when I came back into my body. So I came up to my body and entered back in. When I came back in, the terrors and the horrors of hell entered my mind. And I instantly went into a traumatized state. So I don't even remember this point. From that point on, I just remember screaming. And that's what woke up my wife. So I wanted her to just share that little piece with you for a minute and then let her sit down. So if you could share that with me, Ann.
Sure, certainly. This happened, as Bill said, in 1998 of November. And we had gone to a prayer meeting, which we attended every Sunday evening. We came home, went to bed. It was just a normal night, nothing unusual. And I awoke to screams coming from our living room at 3:23 in the morning. And I know it was 3:23 because the first thing I did is I looked at our digital clock. And Bill's going to explain later, but he did sense he left his body at 3 a.m., and that's where the 23 minutes comes from. So I proceeded to go down our hallway, and I found my husband in a state I have never, ever seen him in. He was completely traumatized. He was holding his hands to his temple. He was in a fetal position, curled up next to our couch, and he was screaming out in terror and as if he had been tortured. And he was screaming out, "Pray for me, pray for me. The Lord has taken me to hell. I feel like my body is dying." And of course, as his wife, I was relieved he wasn't having a medical emergency. But at the same time, it was very shocking, to say the least. And the Lord so graciously, as I prayed, He began to take the terror and the fear from Bill, from his mind. And He kept, of course, the memory so then he could tell what had happened to him. And the first thing he asked for was a glass of water. And you're going to come to learn is that when you hold up a glass of water, we take that so much for granted. It really represents life. in that glass of water, because there is no water in hell. And I'm going to let my husband continue with his story. Thank you.
See how blessed I am? God's given me a really good woman. I am really, really grateful for it. And she still thinks I'm wonderful after all these years. It's amazing. But first of all, we're not given to any scary movies. We don't go to any evil movies of any kind. We're not in any kind of dark things like that at all. So some people have asked that. It's something we stay away from. We don't allow any kind of evil object in our house or anything like that. So this was not a result of that. It was just a vision God gave me. But to explain a little bit more about a vision, and 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, where Paul was caught up in a vision into heaven. He said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. You see, so the Lord just happened to show me that I left my body, number one. So, and in a vision, you are in a spirit body. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 talks about a natural body and a spirit body. So you have a spirit body. And to describe a little bit about what you can experience in a vision, in Ezekiel, his vision in Ezekiel 8, 3 and chapter 3, he talked about his vision. And he said he was picked up by his hair and carried to Jerusalem. And he was told to eat a roll, and he ate it, and it became bitter in his stomach. He wept, he conversed, he dug through a wall. My point is, he did all the things that you could do in a physical body, but he was in a spirit body. So he actually experienced those things. John in Revelation 5:5 and 10:10, same thing. He was caught up in heaven, and he was told to eat a roll, and it became bitter in his stomach. So he experienced just like eating and taste. He conversed with someone and so forth, and he wept. So you can do all these things in a spirit body. So that's how a Christian can see hell. People said, Bill, how can a Christian see hell? It was just in a vision. I was not condemned to hell. I didn't die. This was a vision. And Job 7:14 talks about, you scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions. So you can have a terrifying vision. And Isaiah 21:2, Isaiah was given a grievous vision. So that's basically what these were under, a grievous, terrifying vision. Again, like I said, so you can travel in a vision. I just happened to travel to hell. So that's where the Lord, I'd rather have gone to heaven, but anyway. And I don't say any of this to compare myself with any of these great men in the Bible, okay? So it's not, I'm not anywhere comparing to that. I'm just trying to give you a scriptural basis for how this can happen. You might say, well, Bill, why do I have to hear about hell? I'm a Christian. I'm not going there. It doesn't matter to me. Well, that's the way I used to think also. But I want to give you three reasons why it's important for all of us as Christians to know about hell. First of all, when you understand how severe hell is and just how bad it is, you'll be much more grateful for your own salvation. You really will be. You'll be so appreciative of what God saved you from. See, many Christians don't even realize that, and there's Christians today that either believe in annihilationism, that if you go to hell, you're annihilated, you cease to exist, or eventually you get out of hell, universalism. A lot of Christians believe that way, but none of that's true. Hell is eternal. You live forever in hell, and you do not cease to exist. So when you understand how severe it is, you'll be much more appreciative. Secondly, so much of the church today really lives in a compromised state. And when you understand, again, the fear of the Lord, you will not want to walk in the walk that you might have been, a real backslidden state. You'd want to serve the Lord. You don't want to take any chances whatsoever of going to this place. I'm telling you, it really will open your eyes when you realize how bad it is. A lot of the fear, though, today has left the church. You know, in Psalms 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Greatly to be feared. And the word feared there is the word aras, A-R-A-S in Hebrew, and it means to shake in terror. So how many of us really shake in terror today of the Lord? That's kind of left the church a lot, has caused people to feel like, well, I can live in sin. I can get away with it. You know, and they slide by, and that's not the case. You know, even in Jeremiah 32:40, he says, I will put my fear in their hearts that they will not depart from me. So you see what the fear helps keep you from departing from the Lord. John Wesley said, the fear of the God who can cast you into hell, even with the children of God, is one excellent means of preserving them from it. I believe that's a true statement. There was an article in the LA Times, June 19th of 02, that was in the front page of the religious section, and it said, it was titled, Hold the Fire and Brimstone, where they interviewed pastors from all over the country and churches and found out that most churches were not preaching anything about hell, that they said that, you know, hell is maybe just a state of the mind. It's not really a geographical location. It's no longer torment. Matter of fact, I'll just read you a quick line from this article. It says, A mention of hell from pulpits is as an all-time low. The downplaying of damnation shows the influence of secularism on Christian theology. It says the violence and torture that Dante described in the Inferno no longer resonates with churchgoers. There has been a shift in religion from focusing on what happens in the next life to asking, what is the quality of this life? So, you see, a lot of churches were not teaching about hell. They only found one pastor that was teaching about hell. It was Ray Comfort. And the rest of them were really downplayed hell and said, again, it was just maybe separation from God. That's about all we know. Like that's not like that would be minor. Separation from God is horrible beyond your worst imagination. But most people don't realize that. And there is actual torment and fire and so forth, which I'll tell you about. If you understand the terrors of hell, you'll want to be more persuasive. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11, Paul was talking about the judgment. Even though he was talking about the judgment seat there, which is a reward seat for Christians, most commentaries agree that he was talking about judgment, hell, and sin. And he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When you understand the terror of the Lord, the judgment and hell, you'll be more persuasive as a man, and you'll want to go witness. God holds us accountable. In Ezekiel 33:8, he said, if we fail to speak to warn the sinner from his way, then his blood will I require at your hand. God holds us accountable. And he says the same thing in Acts 20:26 and Acts 18:6. Colossians 1:28 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. So we are to warn every man, and God holds us accountable if we don't. That's pretty heavy. And I think it was Bill Bright, he had said that only 2% of Christians witness. That's pretty sad. I mean, 2% of us. You know, and here we have the good news we can share and explain to people. You know. Anyway, so that's the three reasons, really, is to appreciate your salvation, to understand the fear of the Lord, and to be a better witness, to go out there and share with the dying world, because we have the message we need to tell people. You know, if we don't open our mouths, they're not going to hear it. You know, anyway, one more thing I wanted to find out, and I'll get started, is I wanted to find out when I got back from this experience, like I said, how many scriptures there were. I studied. I found over 150 verses. I didn't take them out of context. I studied and took them from a lot of the very well-known scholastically written books, like Hell Under Fire and some others that are well-known. So the scriptures are not taken out of context, the ones I give you. Also, I want to find out, is there anybody in the Bible that experienced hell? And I found out Jonah, he did experience hell, according to most of the commentaries. Jonah 2:2, he said, in hell I cried out. And he used the word Sheol, which is the hell, where hell is today, Sheol, down in the earth. And he said, Jonah 2:6, the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast brought my life from corruption. So Jonah did experience hell, according to, there's some really good commentaries, the Tyndale and the New International, both point out that Jonah was at the gates of hell, and that it was actual literal bars and gates. So what I'm telling you is not made up. It's in a lot of the commentaries. And again, this is not to compare myself with Jonah. I'm just trying to give you some scriptural reference of how this could be possible. And I want to get started. So as my wife said, well, we went to a prayer meeting Sunday night like we always would go to. And we came home like any other ordinary night and went to bed. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I found myself, I was picked up and I was dropped off in a prison cell in hell. I don't know how I got there. It was not explained until the way back. I knew it was 3 o'clock because somehow I just understood it was 3 o'clock. I can't explain to you, but your senses are a lot keener when you're in the spirit realm, and I'll explain more about that in a few minutes. Anyway, I found myself in a prison cell, just like we would imagine a prison cell, with rough-hewn stone walls and bars, just like you'd imagine. Isaiah 24:22 says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison." And Proverbs 7:27 talks about going down to hell to the chambers of death. The word chambers means inner rooms. Job 17:16 talks about they shall go down to the bars of the pit. Anyway, there's lots of scriptures. I love to give scripture, okay? I'm kind of a scripture nut, but I'll bore you with giving you too many, so I have to keep moving. I like to give you a lot. There's about 10 or 15 I can give you for each point, but we'd be here all night, so I'll just share a few along the way.